Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We were chatting before the show, and I kind of asked a big question, and then we got the prompt to enter the show. So
yeah, I
just want to give a personal apology for that.
No problem.
So how was your week this week?
My week was really good, actually. It was interesting because it was a week of kind of making connections with people. And last week, a second cousin of mine was here from out west with her husband, and they came here for the day to spend the day and visit. And then we did something else. Oh, I had a jewelry show. My cousin designs jewelry, and I had a show for here on Sunday, and I invited them to stay for dinner afterwards. So we had a real good visit with them. And then you, having dinner with you and Kayla on Wednesday night. And then yesterday we did a little field trip with the painters that Peter works with up to Kitchener, rather, to look at a job that Peter's going to do or quote for anyway. So, and we had a lot of fun doing that. So, it's been a really fun week of, you know, connecting with people. And I was just realizing how suddenly, you know, with everything that's been going on with me, how it's all sort of coming back to that, that whole idea of connection and getting back to the place that I love to be in, and being able to be with, you know, people that we love and spend time with. And it's been really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, that's great. Quite the socialite week.
Yeah.
This week. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, Wednesday was really wonderful, and it was you know, we do cross paths from time to time over the months and so on, but that was really, really nice and great conversation. And all of a sudden, like, 4 hours passes, and really it's no surprise, but 4 hours passes and the dishes hadn't been done yet.
Yeah.
They're all
yeah.
just sitting out in front of us.
Luckily, it didn't take too long.
So. Oh, good, good. Thank goodness you have a dishwasher. Kayla,
yes.
Kayla doesn't have a dishwasher at her place, at her home. And
oh.
I tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful appliance to have. And
yes,
it's very high on the priority list, I would say, if we're picking large appliances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, I just got paused there for a second because we have a call in.
Oh yeah, I noticed that too.
And I was worried if it was you, and then I saw the mute
yeah.
button. I was worried if I had you muted the whole time and the audience was just hearing my voice. I had this moment of panic.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I had the same moment though. talking to dead air or something, but no,
yeah.
It's not me.
For sure.
Well, welcome, whoever you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
See a live caller or live listener.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we had changed our format. Normally, we both call in, and so that second line is usually in play. And over the past like 2 months, we've changed it to where we've come in on the same line for it's a little bit better audio quality, we find. And so that was just seeing it there. Just all of a sudden, your brain goes, "What's going on?" Well, I know that last week you wanted to talk a little bit about you have been running a group on Tuesdays, where it's been going on for about 4 years, and you guys have worked start to finish through the A Course in Miracles, and it just completed. And I know that was, number one, it's a huge accomplishment, and to have not only to get through the entire book, but also to do it with a group of people and have it set up in that way. But I know that it was kind of. you know, it meant a lot to you. And I'd love to give you the floor to talk about that experience.
Yeah, thanks. On Monday nights I think it is about the last 4 years, we've been running a Course in Miracles study group. And we've had, over the 4 years, we've had people come and go. It's not for everybody. It is quite a deep study. And I think you have to be in the right place in order to be ready to begin that journey. But Peter actually, funny enough, now that I say that, that was the sort of vehicle by which he started on his journey. So it's not necessarily, it's, you know, you may be ready everybody's ready at a different time. And so he's been through the book a couple of times with other groups, but with this group, this was actually the first time for me to go through it. So it was nice to have that group environment. I think A Course in Miracles is something that there's probably a lot of people out there that have picked up the book and tried to read it on their own and promptly closed it back up and said, I don't get it. Which is why the group scenario is so much better, because we have discussion. And that's why it has taken us 4 years to get through the book, because we don't just read the book. We actually discuss and explain and describe and apply it to our daily lives and how it can be applicable and how it can help us in our daily lives to live a deeper, more fulfilling life. So, when I first got looked at A Course in Miracles, it was at the very beginning of my own self-discovery journey, and I did open the book, read about 3 pages, and close it up and put it away. And then when I met Peter and I had been a little further along my journey, I decided that it was time for us to do a group. And so for me, it was my first time through, and to go through it with basically a couple of the people were the same people from basically the beginning was really nice, because it was this cozy little group and we really got to know each other, and we've kind of become friends with them. And we always go out to dinner at the end of each. We do 12-week terms. And so at the end of each 12 weeks, we always make plans to go out for dinner and just have a social evening. So it's really been a group growth. And it's been really interesting to sort of travel that journey with other people and to see and hear and learn their perspectives and how they see it and how they apply it to their lives and how I've applied it to my life and how much more growth I've achieved just in the reading of the book. But Monday night, it was a bit sad because it was sort of the end of an era. And I thought at the end of it, I thought, oh gosh, I'd love to do it again. But do I want to do it on my own? No, because I think it is it's a community. I think it's a community experience myself. And I think there's a lot of people out there that would agree with me. Our journey is never done alone anyway. And so to take that journey through the book and the exercises and everything else, I think it just enriches it by doing it in community. So it's been really a wonderful, wonderful experience, and really enjoyable to share it with the people that we shared it with.
For sure. I think that, I would absolutely be on board with it being the ideal experience or the ideal way to experience that book or even just counseling in general. I mean, I have to say, like, you know, I've been to, you know, I've also taken part in counseling, and I've gone to group counseling, and I find doing it in a group, you know, whether it be through a group, how we met, you know, or I went to one as a family member with an alcoholic in the family. I went to that with my brother and sister, and it was a group of about, I don't know, about 12 people, maybe 15 people. And it was, you know, group counseling. And then, you know, I've done also a book study too. And it's so nice to do it that way. And sometimes, you know, the idea of going, you know, to a counseling or therapy, you know, kind of has a stigma to it. And it feels like really heavy. And it feels like, oh, my goodness, we're going to just focus on me the whole time. And to be able to have it in a group is really nice because it also helps, you know, each personality, you know, stay more in their comfort zone in a way, you know, that the listeners will listen. There's certainly people who talk more than others, but it also to hear other people's experience and how they filter the lessons and how they filter the teachings of perhaps how better to organize and have a perspective on our lives. I find it just incredibly beneficial. And if there's anyone, you know, listening who might bristle at the thought of going straight into like one-on-one counseling, I mean, group counseling is just, I mean, I never went to one where I was like, oh, that was a waste of time. You know, it was so nice. And you get to go to it in whatever state you're in that day, you know, like you finish work or whatever day it is. And you go to it, and whatever mood you're in, you get to keep, you know, where one-on-one counseling sometimes is a little bit, okay, now let's focus here. Let's make you, you know, think about this. And, you know, how are you feeling about here? It's more directive. At least with, you know, in group counseling, it's a beautiful first step because, you know, if that day, you know, you just kind of want to be pensive and listen, you can. And another day, if something is really on top of your mind, you can say so. And then, you know, share it in front of people. And just even the sharing, not only listening to other people's stories or how they feel through the information, but also, you know, those times when you want to share, it feels really beautiful to be able to let go of something in a circle of people who are all there, you know, for the same reason, is to like just support and honor all of our past and how my situation might be different, but the lesson is the same and the feelings are the same. I couldn't encourage anyone anymore to go and you know, as a first step or even, you know, as their main practice, you know, whatever floats your boat. But it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And to do A Course in Miracles in a group, I think, would just make it just so much more, would enliven it and make it such a more beautiful experience. And when you add connection and friendship and socializing, it's just a beautiful thing.
I agree. One-on-one coaching is, or counseling is great, because it's geared specifically towards the individual. You do some really good, deep work, but it can be very intense. Like you said, sometimes we're not always up for that. And I think that a group scenario is, or a group setting is a very good introduction into any kind of counseling or coaching, and a good way to feel supported and to sort of settle into that lovely, safe environment where you can express yourself if you need to or not, if you don't feel up to it, like you said. Here as a teacher and as someone who facilitates groups all the time, I'm always learning as well. Like, yes, I'm teaching, and yes, I'm sharing the benefit of my experience and what I've learned and what has worked for me and how I apply, you know, all these ideas and concepts to my everyday life. But I also learn from the other people that are there, and even learn from the very things that I'm teaching. There's times when I've heard stuff come out of my mouth and thought, yes, maybe you should listen to that too, right? So it benefits everybody in the group in many different ways, some quite different than a one-on-one session, and some in similar ways. But like you said, it is so beneficial and so it's encouraging, it's supportive and loving, and yeah, especially if you get with the right group of people, if you get someone who knows how to facilitate in a way that is creating a safe environment and really, you know, knows what they're doing.
Yeah. It's so nice too. Also, I think, you know, maybe, I don't know if this is more of a male thing. It may or may not be, but, you know, we even brought this up a couple of days ago, was just the idea that when there's people who come into this group, and I really like think about the one where I went with my brother and my sister in particular, you know, you're sharing things that, you know, you hide from even your aunts and your uncles in a way, you know, or, you know, family members and so on. And you're always kind of like trying to hide, you know, these issues, whether they be your own, which they are in relation to somebody who might be an alcoholic in the family or somebody who's having real serious issues, you know, who may not be you, but how you relate to them is certainly things that you carry around. And these things that we hide, we really try to protect our identity and really try to not share these things for fear of our own vulnerability, for fear of how we'll be judged, for fear of how it will affect our relationships and opportunities. But then to come into a group where it's kind of a safe space and where, you know, where 12 people start off as strangers, and you don't, you know, you may or may not develop friendships out of the group, but, you know, you all come together and you share these things that are most vulnerable that you wouldn't even share with with a friend sometimes, and you out it and you share it and you listen to other people sharing the same things that they won't share with people in their lives for fear of how it's going to affect them. But it's this beautiful dynamic where it's this wonderful, wonderful human thing where we come together as a group and hold the space that's specifically for this. And people, you know, they're really, I've never really experienced a time where somebody, you know, violated that trust, where they came out, you know, attacking or made somebody feel small or anything. Like, everybody understands what they're there for. And when you have a good facilitator, it just only heightens this. And you can share and say the things that really, truly affect you as a human being. And we realize how shared feelings really are. And how we really are so similar to one another once we get past, you know, all the identity that we've built up. And it's such a beautiful thing to, you know, understand and kind of test and try out being vulnerable with this group of people and learn how good it feels. And then if we can take just even pieces of that vulnerability back into our own lives and see the difference it can make in the intimacy and the love in our relationships, I'm so grateful for having been a part of that and seeking out those opportunities to do it more and more in my life, because you really do understand just the beauty of another person when they're not your boss or your, you know, subordinate or your kid or parent, or when there's not this long-standing, you know, identifiable relationship with different power structures. It's just a beautiful thing to see other people as people and to realize how similar you are.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to say, there's still something for me about getting together in the flesh, in person with other people. I feel like it's a greater connection than any other connection you could have. And I find with so much social media and the internet, it's too easy to not get out there and connect with people in real time. And groups like that are invaluable for really knowing and you know, I just have a feeling in the future that the groups and classes are going to be all about how to connect with people in person, because we seem to be doing so much less of it as time goes on, and it does get really easy just to, you know, stay at home in your sweats and not get out into the world and meet people and be with people and experience with people, because it's wonderful to experience something on your own, but to experience with other people, it adds a whole other dimension to it that you can't experience on your own. You just can't. And so yeah, I just really feel like it's something that's so needed now because of the way that the electronic world is going and how it's so easy to connect on social media, and it's so easy to, you know, pop on, send an email, send a text, jump on Skype or whatever it is. I mean, you and I do it every week when we do the show. We've never done the show in the same geographical location. But we do see each other, you see, and it's just, it adds another dimension to the whole relationship. I think it's really important. I think that, you know, looking into someone's eyes, being in someone's physical presence, their energy, sharing an experience with them, looking at things through their eyes, really understanding what it's like to be in the presence of other people, even down to, you know, physical touch, hugs, whatever. I think it's all so important, and I think it's starting to slide. And so I think groups like we're talking about are going to become more and more important in the future.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. Because, you know, I think about even the whole phenomenon with the, you know, the digital cameras, and now they're on our phones, and we have all these places to share them. It's this, you know, unbelievable preponderance of picture taking. While there is absolutely value just strictly in taking the picture, you know, it has gotten away from us. And then we think about the impulse of why we take so many pictures. It's really because we want to share this experience with other people. It's like, hey, look what I did, and look how like cool this is, or look how beautiful this is, or look how neat this moment was. And, you know, there could be a whole episode based on our behavior around picture taking about how we, you know, oh, it's time to take a picture. Let's all get out of our chairs and link arms and make this smile, our picture taking smile together. And it's like, let's capture this moment that never happened, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but, you know, when we have these relationships with people in our lives and we're able to, like, you know, work on ourselves so that, you know, we're, you know, we can have a wholesome and holistic experience with another person, not just, you know, to satisfy some sort of goal or purpose, or, you know, whether it be formalized through work or whatever. And, you know, when you're able to just be with another person, that really is kind of like the impulse of picture taking, because, you know, when you share an experience like going, you know, up to Kitchener and, you know, going to do the job, but I'm sure there was more to it than that, you know, forever now with those people. You know, that's almost like a photo album in and of itself, and that's just one day. And however many days we spend with the people in our lives who are close to us, the people in our lives who we love, it is kind of like always having a photo album at the ready when we go out and do things and experience things with other people, because it's always there. It's now part of the relationship, and it can never be erased. And it is this really awesome feeling of having a history and having something to be shared. And I think, you know, we talk so often about, you know, in our relationships, when we're struggling in our relationships, about, you know, how we don't want to let go of that, why it's so hard, you know, to go through a breakup or something like that, because we have all this massive photo album that we put so much effort into. And if we break up, we kind of know that we're probably not going to continue seeing this person, and we won't get to enjoy, you know, the context from what it is that we, you know, filled our photo album with. And, you know, I think it only goes to show the power of that connection with other people. And so often we can feel it in a romantic relationship, but it does extend to all the relationships in our lives. And that connection, like you say, you know, in person, there is something special about it, and that tenderness and that shared loving experience is just, it's so beautiful. I mean, it just really, sometimes we get so worked up and so focused on our own lives and our own stories and our own problems, you know, and we try to go to work, we try to make enough money, and we try to do all these things so that we can, you know, feel good about ourselves. But, you know, when we have that time off, and when we don't feel so compelled by the things that we have to do, and we're able to have that free time, and we can really help us realize just how beautiful a life is, how beautiful our life is, when we can get to that place of loving presence and really share the experience with another person where it is part of your free time. And I think if we put a little bit more focus on remembering these things, just how much more we can lighten our energy and our vibration, and then in turn how much that of similar energy that attracts into our lives, it can really be the beginning of a spiral upwards in our life experience.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. It's just, it's funny because I'm terrible at taking pictures. I mean, I'm not just a bad picture taker, but I never think to take pictures. I think because I'm so busy being in that experience, I don't stop and think, oh, let's take a picture. So, even Peter and I don't have that many pictures of the two of us together unless somebody else has taken them. So it's funny. When you're in that moment, you're remembering, you're having the experience, and you will always have, you take pictures and you think about if the house burned down. Well, now with digital, it's not so much a problem, but I'm old enough that, I have a stack of photo albums, and I think about if my house burned down, all the pictures of my kids and when I was a kid and my kids were kids, and they'd be gone. But does that change the experience that I have? Does that change what I remember about growing up or about when my kids grew up? We get too attached to the actual photo of it instead of remembering the actual experience, right? And like you said, there's nothing wrong with taking photos. I know lots of people who are really into it, and that's really cool. And sometimes I wish I was more into it, but it's the experience that's important. And the way you feel about the experience is not going to change whether you have a photo of it or not. It's always there living inside you, and it becomes a part of who you are and how you live your life.
Yeah. Well, I know that we've exhausted our entire allotment of time already, and it'd be there's so much more to say, but it'd be beautiful if you could send us off into our week routine with a meditation.
Well, it's no surprise how 4 hours can fly by when we're having conversations. And yes, I'd love to do a meditation. So let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself within to that place inside that is familiar and safe and loving and kind and peaceful. That place you recognize in the very moment that you take that breath and connect to all that you are. And in this place, in this beautiful, loving presence that is the foundation of who you are, this is the part that yearns to find itself, to join with others, to know that we are all one, that we are all the same, and that we are only looking to find our way home together. And what better way to do that journey than together? Allow yourself to be open to all the experiences that are open to you with other people, to have connection, true, loving, in-person connection with those people that you love, and even make new connections to those that you've never met before. And see how being totally in your loving presence and showing up in the world with an open mind and an open heart can bring you so much more joy and fulfillment, happiness, and even more love than you can ever imagine. This is how we are meant to be. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina. I like that idea of opening ourselves to more connection with others. Sometimes it feels just like that. You know, sometimes we're closed and we're not open to connecting. And that definitely resonates with me.
Yeah, me too. Hmm. Me too. I think it's important.
Yeah. Just get busy and get focused on what's right in front of you, and
Mm-hmm.
Maybe miss the point.
That's right.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been a beautiful week and a great show. And I look forward to seeing you all next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.